out by singing a brand new song, and it's called Place of Freedom. But in the song, it talks about, I've come to worship. I've come to worship. And today, I just, you know, we call this the worship service. This is where we come to worship. This is our purpose for gathering together, to hang out together, to lift up the name of the Lord, to glorify Him, to glean from what He has for us. And today, I have been unsettled. This has been an unsettling week for me. But when I get here, I just kind of have to take a deep breath and go, okay, God, whatever you want, however you want to do it, I've come to worship. And this is your call to worship right now. I'm calling you out. I'm saying, okay, this is it. We're going to have this moment together, and it's exciting, and we're family, and we get to hang out, and we get to love God together. And if I could, I'd have you all gather with me up here, and we would just hang out and just sing and participate together. And I mean, if you want to, I'm open. So, God is good. He's so good. And I'm excited to worship God today. Father, you are so great. And Lord, I just want to worship you, and I want to give you the due that is due your name, the honor, God. And Father, as we come before you and boldly come before your presence, God, I just pray that you would just pour out your love on us, pour out your spirit on us, God. And Father, there really truly is nothing more than that we want but your presence in this place, God. And Father, just have your perfect way in us and through us today, God. Let everything that we sing and everything that we say and everything that we do be pleasing to you, God. Father, we love you. We've come to worship you because you are worth it. You're so worthy, God. You're so worthy. We can trust you. Today's your day, God. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Your name till the walls come falling down.
this world that can free me. You saved my soul. I'm gonna lift my hands till I can reach heaven. I'm gonna shout your name till the walls come falling down. I've come to worship.
Yesterday, we were at our parents' house, well, my parents' house, our parents, whatever. And I was talking to my grandpa, and everybody was just kind of playing around, doing their thing, and the kids were crawling and whatever. And I don't even know what I said to him, but we were just talking, and he just told me about a scripture. And I'm going to read it to you because it really spoke volumes to me. It's Habakkuk 3:17 through the end of the chapter, and it reads, "Even though the fig trees have no blossoms, and there are no grapes on the vines, or even though the olive crop has failed, and the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the fields, and the cattle barns are empty, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes me as sure-footed as a deer, able to tread upon the heights." No matter where you are in your walk, no matter if the bank account is reading negative 100, no matter if your wife just left you, or your husband just left you, or you just lost your job, or your car broke down, or whatever it may be that's going on with you right now, it doesn't change that the Lord is still on the throne and He's still your God. You can say, "God, I need you," and He'll wrap His arms around you and He'll carry you through. No matter what you're facing in the natural, no matter what you're facing with your mind and like you can't see an end to it, He is still the sovereign God, and He is still holding you tight and has you and has your best interests at heart. And He wants you to just say, "Okay, God, okay." So we're going to sing this one more time. And I just want you to just say, "Okay, God." And just whatever it is, I just want you to release it to Him and just find your rest.
Shout your name till the walls.
You are good. Good morning, Holy Spirit. If you haven't taken the time to say good morning to your Lord, if you haven't opened your heart up and your minds, that song should do it. And certainly the arrow that Moses is going to send forth an arrow. But Stephen sent forth an arrow of truth that should have pierced us to our quick. I want to tell you something that happened yesterday. And I hope your spirit understands. We were over at my family for a family reunion, and we decided instead of staying, we would drive home last night. Ken was asleep, and I was the outskirts of Selah, when my spirit just went into chills. I just started trembling. And I thought, Lord God, there is a war going on in the spirit. There is a war going on. It's 10:30 at night, and the heavenlies are doing battle. And Ken quickly woke up, and he said, are you okay? And I said, yes, but we need to pray in the spirit now. And we did, until peace came. The peace of the Heavenly Father rained down. Last night when I was sleeping, the Lord gave me a dream. And it reminded me of what Pastor was talking about last week, about is the Lord quickening your spirits? Are your bellies groaning? And the Lord showed me a pregnant woman, someone I knew, very pregnant. And the Lord has used that before. But this time when I awoken, the Lord said, my people need to be ready. I'm about to birth into my children that want to accept it. The next step. The next step to walking in the Spirit, to engaging the enemy, to calling upon my name and know my power and know my love and know my healing and know my mercy. The Lord God reigns. The Lord God is our purpose. The Lord God is our strength. And I am ready. And I hope you're ready to engage whatever it is that the Lord has for us. Because he wants to move us on and up to freedom. Freedom. Freedom in his land. Freedom in his children. Peace and grace and healing and mercy. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Church with joy.
church with joy overflowing and peace overflowing and love overflowing in all of your glory.
Come flood this place. Songs we sing are so beautiful that you can just get caught up in the melody, you can get caught up in the just the moment, the experiencing the sound of it, and it just kind of can almost mesmerize you. But I felt the Lord tell me that He wants us to sing this part, especially where it says, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here, that He wants us to sing it with our spirits. And so what I'm saying is I don't want us to just sing it by looking at it and hearing the music and then just, you know, singing. I want you to sing it and let your spirit connect with the Holy Spirit that's inside of you, inside of me, and proclaim it. Proclaim it. In other words, almost prophesy that Holy Spirit's going to fill this place. Almost declare it by agreeing with what God wants to do, because He's already here in all His fullness and living in each one of us, but letting our spirits cry out with the Holy Spirit and then letting something supernatural take place. Let it become a prophetic song than just a worship song. And worship will be in it. Don't worry about that. When we let our spirits connect with Holy Spirit, there is a dynamic that takes place that goes beyond what we are able to experience with our senses, what we're able to reason with our minds. It is when we literally enter into the supernatural realm of God, and then supernatural events take place. And I'm not talking about all the time just what we see with our eyes, what we see and hear with our ears, but no, what we literally experience deep inside of us, that when we leave here, we are not the same. When we leave here, we then become a greater light because we've become more like Jesus. See, I don't want us to come and experience a service for 2 hours, 2.5 hours, and then leave and remain the same, because the disciples' calling and the calling card that they had is that they had been with Jesus. When people saw them, oh, we remember they've been with Jesus, and now they act and they live this way. And we have an opportunity right now to go beyond our normal worship service and go into the Holy of Holies, the throne room, the deeper time with the Lord, where literally anything can happen. Anything can happen. And this song has a prophetic cry in it. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place, this environment, with your atmosphere. It's what we long for, Lord. It's what we desire. It's not life is normal, life as usual that we desire anymore, Lord. We desire you. You are our quest. You are our goal. You are our desire. Let that come out of your spirit. And as we sing this again, I believe Holy Spirit's going to do a work in here where hearts will be just connected in a deeper way with the Lord. Amen? Amen. Okay. Right now, God, touch every heart, every life, Lord. Do not let us remain the same, Lord. You are why we gathered. You are why we're here, Lord. You are the reason, Lord. Holy Spirit, come. You're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome, Lord.
not going to open my eyes because I just want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And I think that's what he is calling us to do right now, is just shut our eyes and be sensitive to his Spirit. He reminded me about 20 minutes ago of a time when I was 15 and I was with a friend in youth and we were worshiping and I was newly saved. And we just wanted to stay after church was over, and the pastors lived next door and they let us stay, and we locked the doors. There was no music, there was no people, and we sat in the back of the sanctuary and we just started worshiping, and God unleashed his presence so strong and so thick. It literally felt like God was at the altar of that church. We couldn't go any closer. His presence was so strong. He gave us new tongue. He gave us, I can't even physically describe what happened that day, but I feel like in this church, God wants to unleash. It's like an egg, and we're cracked. You know, when you first crack the egg, before you break it open, the yoke of bondage is ready to be released from all of us, and the fear and the captivity and the things that weighed us down this morning and yesterday and the day before. It's just close your eyes and see yourself as that egg. You've let the Spirit in. But unleash that yoke, that captivity, those things that have weighed you down for so long, and the heaviness and the fear and the disappointments and the anger and the addictions and the problems, and just let God crack open that egg. Let God crack open your spirit to him and let him unleash, because he is so here in this place, and all he wants is us to just cry out, just to open up our spirits to him. And if that means just total abandon, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter the children, the distractions, the thoughts about what's going on the rest of the day. His presence can change us forever. And I can tell you that moment when I was 15 changed me forever. I want to experience that again. I want to feel that power so strong that, I mean, there was no care in the world except for his presence. All we wanted was to be close. We thought maybe he would just take us. It was so strong. And I just pray right now, God, that your spirit would unleash, God, upon this body, God, that you would just fill, God, this worship team, God, Lynette, Lord, that you would overpower her life, God, like never before, God, that she would walk in such authority and freedom, God, that she would be changed forever, God, that this building, God, would just be set on fire of your Holy Spirit, God, I pray. And that we would cry out from the depths of our souls and just long for you more, God. That we wouldn't care about what people say or what distractions come our way, Lord. That our eyes and our minds and our spirits be focused on you, Holy Spirit. And we give you all glory and honor for what you've done in us already, Lord. And for what the things to come, God, we praise you. And we love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
Yeah.
what's going on, but I want to take this moment to just do a little bit of a teaching real quickly, what I feel the Lord is doing in our day. And I want you to know that you're a candidate, and I don't want you to let what you sound like or what you think your voice is like stop you, because I believe for some reason why God is doing it, it's his plan, it's not ours, but he is causing a song to rise up in his people. It's the sound of heaven, I call it. It comes right from his throne and into us, and then we speak it out like a declaration. And we have biblical precedents. If you go to Ephesians 5, 17 through 21, it says, "Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another," and this is amazing, it doesn't say speak to one another in words, it says speak to one another in songs and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. It's amazing. It doesn't say speaking to one another with sermons or speaking to one another with prophetic words, even though we do that, and that is biblical too. But right here, he's encouraging us to not be drunk with wine. And I'm sure whoever's had, you know, pasts before Christ, being drunk and being stoned and all that stuff was how you would cope and feel good. And Paul, I believe, is admonishing the church, listen, there's a better way to receive the peace and that comforting that you're looking for in the world's offerings, which you'll never be satisfied. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I think it was about 2 months ago, 3 months ago, maybe now, men's Transform, I almost said Encounter, we had a time when the Holy Spirit was moving in such a way that other brothers were coming up and singing. And I believe that that was part of what we experienced that weekend, was that that was released. And, you know, we just had an admonition from the Lord to, you know, to break out of our yokes of bondage, our chains, our egg, so to speak. And this has been on my heart, and the Lord reminded me of this just now. And I mean, I get songs all the time. I sing to the Lord, and even up here, I'm almost always singing something. But I just want to encourage you of little faith in your voice to not let that hold you back. If you feel something stirring inside of you, even if it's out of tune to us, it will be in tune with heaven. Hey, listen, I'm trying to take us beyond where we're at, because I believe that when we go beyond where we're at, we're closer to being like Jesus. And the only way that that's going to happen is we get to the place where we don't care, not in a way that is prideful, but in a way that is keeping us from being in shame or worrying about what someone else thinks, when it's in being obedience to God. See, that's the key. If you're just doing something up here so that others can see you, you're out of it right there, and we won't receive anything. But if you're in obedience to God, even if it's sharing a simple word, but I believe something's going to break loose when we start speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, speaking to one another. And it doesn't have to happen here. Husbands and wives, you can sing to each other. Families, you can sing to each other. Listen to what the Lord gave me, this little ditty. And you start singing, and all of a sudden, something's released. The anointing. Man, there's something in music. Go read about David when he played his harp before Saul, when Saul was being tormented by a wicked spirit. That spirit would have to flee. We want freedom. Man, it's just waiting for us. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here today.
flood this place. We want the atmosphere of heaven to be what we live in and abide in and rest in. Thank you, Lord, that you're doing a work that goes beyond our natural understanding, goes deep to the things of the Spirit. We want to be in the Spirit, Lord. We want to be in the Spirit. Thank you, Jesus.
Spirit on you, dry Yes, I submit. Yes, I obey. You, my King, the King of glory. Yes, I submit. Yes, I will obey. You, my King, the King of wonder and glory.
A song, and I can't sing a song, but I do know that it's not like I am unashamed. I am unashamed. That's anyway, if we deny the Lord and are ashamed of Him, He will not know us. That's
Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I just want you to be dwelling and thinking about that this week. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. When we gather together, I believe that there's supposed to be a dynamic where there's a flowing, not just a few, not just a couple, but I believe this is a body. And I believe when that starts taking place, things are going to bust loose. Some people say, well, Pastor Mike, how can that happen in a church service that's organized and structured? Could be part of the problem. We need to realize that God's bigger than our structure. He's bigger than our organization. It's bigger than our plans. And He's in each and every one of you and me. And what'll happen when we turn Him loose? What'll happen when we step through that threshold of fear into the very doorway that is heaven? Because God's perfect love is here. His complete love fills in each, every one of us. And it can eradicate and remove every single fear that holds you back, that causes hesitation in you.
Why do we gather?
Do we gather to fulfill some weekly duty? Or do we truly gather to experience Him? I believe that's why we gather, is to experience Him, to know Him more, to be changed into more like of who He is. And so if we continue to do things the same way, the same way, the same way, because we've known it all along and it's comfortable, we'll just remain with that shell just cracked. We'll just remain with that groaning of something more, but never experience it. And this is the day of experiencing the something more. This is the day of not just saying, well, someday. This is the day that Holy Spirit is doing a divine work, a holy work. I'm so blessed to have Dad here today. I believe he's a testimony of the work of the Holy Spirit in this day. What should be dead is alive. What should be incapacitated is walking, getting stronger and stronger every single day. He is a sign and a wonder for this generation to say, don't look at the circumstances, look to me. Don't wait for the miracle, live the miracle now. Right? All of a sudden, I'm waiting for my miracle. No, live the miracle now. Live it now. Say, I'm in my miracle. Right, Nenny? I'm in my miracle. Come on. The miracle's here. It's not a wait for a miracle. It is here. It's never been closer than when we first believed. Right now, the miracle is growing in each and every one of us. And if we could just open our spiritual eyes enough to see it, we'd be blown away. Hallelujah. Well, why don't the children come on up? Give them an opportunity to get some word specifically for them. Impact. Come on up. That's teen. That would be junior high and high school age as well. Praise the Lord. Thank you, team. Awesome. Praise the Lord. How are you guys doing today? Good? You're doing good? Good. Well, would you stretch forth your hand? Let's pray. Father, we just bless your children. Lord, we thank you, God, for your children, Lord. You've given us to them for this time, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, for the entrustment of these lives that you've given us. But, Lord, they're truly your children. And, Father, we bless your children right now, Lord. We ask that you would continue to inspire, continue to enlighten, continue to make them in to the people today that you're calling them to be. Lord, I pray that they too would walk in today's miracle that you have for them. God, that they would experience you, Lord, on a daily basis, Lord, not just on a Sunday, and Lord, not just when they're praying at dinner time, but Lord, I pray on a daily basis, 24/7, they learn to walk in the Spirit, Lord, as you have desired and designed them to walk in the Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Amen. Is everything okay there? Yeah. Davina, come on up. She has a guest in her home that the Lord has. Well, I'll let you explain. Just explain it in a concise way if you can so that we can get to praying for it's Sherry, right?
Terry.
Terry, okay.
Yes, about a year ago, the Lord brought this woman into my life, and he showed me that I am to be her handmaiden. Well, she moved out of town, but we kept in touch over the phone. She found herself homeless. This woman has spina bifida and has no legs. She's got a large sore from sitting in the wheelchair so much. And she found herself homeless. Her aunt put up with her for 1 month. And I say, put up with her. And she's got two chihuahuas. She wanted to come and stay with me. And I recall that they weren't house trained. And I told her no. I went to sleep that night. And the next morning, I was so chastised. My roommate is Dwayne. I went to his bedroom and knocked, and I said, Dwayne, we have to go and get her. And I mean, on the double. I mean, are we there yet? And we got her. I gave her my bedroom, and I'm sleeping on the floor, and I've never had so much joy in my life. And truly, at this time, this is what the Lord wants, and I am her handmaid. I'm God's handmaid to her. And God has filled me with such peace, so much joy, so much love. And we have church all the time now at my house, our house. However long as she wants to stay, that's fine with me. It's God's house. It's not Dwayne and I's house. It belongs to the Lord for his purpose. And we are his servants and his children. And I just wanted to ask you, please pray for Terry, that the Lord heal her. She wanted to come to church. She is a child of God. She really gets ripped off a lot because of her situation. She's disabled, of course. So if you could remember Terry for prayer, because she wanted to come. She just can't sit up that long. And God, I love you. Jesus knows that I love all of you.
Well, let's pray for her right now. Father, we pray right now for Terry. God, Lord, we know that she's in this home for a reason. And Lord, you know why. And God, you've put on Davina's heart, Lord, for serving her and waiting at her feet, Lord. And those are spiritual feet, God, because she doesn't have them in the natural. But God, we thank you, Lord, that you have put this on Davina's heart, and through her obedience, God, that you're going to touch Terry's life. Heal her bed sores right now in Jesus' mighty name, Lord. Let her, Lord, be restored to a place, God, of walking, Lord, in the Spirit, God, like she never has before. Lord, where she can't go in the natural, we pray that she would go in the Spirit now in Jesus' mighty name. Let the truth of the glorious gospel be revealed to your daughter now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, hon. Well, praise the Lord. This is our 24/7 prayer coming up this Friday. So if you are on the 24/7 and you don't receive my emails, please come up and get a sheet after church. And it's been a while since I've done it, but I want to go ahead and give you an opportunity to sign up for 24/7 prayer. 24/7 prayer is a ministry of the churches of the Yakima Valley and organizations that have dedicated one day out of the month, every single month, to say, we're going to pray for the Yakima Valley. And ours is the first Friday of every month. Now, there's other days that are covered by other churches, other ministries. We don't have Yakima covered in prayer 24/7 yet, 365. But there's probably about 80% of the time that Yakima is actually covered in prayer. And the statistics of the crime that is going down, the criminal activity is showing a decline. And I believe that's because God's people are praying. Well, you have an opportunity to be part of that. Now, this is a blank sheet, so just don't worry about it. Most of these times are all covered. But if you would like to pray, or if you're in a time right now and you'd like to change your time, go ahead and put your name, phone number. If you have an email, put your email down there so that I can email you an update every month. That is, you get, basically, it's a scripture support sheet that lets you pray the same kind of prayer that everybody else is going to be praying in that month, so that we join our hearts together in agreement. So again, just fill this out if you'd like to pray. And if you would like to start this week, you can come up and grab a sheet. I'll start right here. And it's sign up sheet week. We as a church, as a family, have a prayer chain. And it's mainly through text, but you can also get an email if you'd like. Tara, who went down with the children, is the administrator of that, and she does an amazing job. Her prayers that she sends on the text, you can pretty much just say amen to and then add, you know, whatever the Lord puts on your heart. But it's a prayer request that is it, that is already a prayer that you can agree with. So you don't have to, like, spend hours in prayer for these needs. But how many know that prayer changes things? And, I mean, Dad was on there multiple times, and I know that God was hearing the prayers of people all over the nation, including ours, and we were part of that orchestra of prayer. So if you would like to sign up for that, just put your name. If you have a text phone message number that you would like, if not, you can put your email address down. Thank you.
Go on. Good, Dave. Good. Okay. Is that alignment right there? Praise the Lord. So, could go back to Ephesians 5, but
that's really powerful. That the speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs is related to being drunk with wine. Think about that. Think about that. Think about that, that the disciples were being accused of being drunk early in the morning on the day of Pentecost because of them praying in the Spirit. And I wonder if there was songs and hymns and spiritual songs taking place then. Who knows? We all just say, well, they were just praying in tongues, but who knows what took place? We know that they were being accused of being drunk with wine, weren't they? Okay, that's what I'm teaching on. But turn with me in your Bible to Psalm 32. Verse 8. I have to preface this because we have a confession to make. I have a confession to make. We don't. Pastor Gay doesn't, but I have a confession to make. About 2 months ago, maybe, the Lord started putting something on my heart to do. And I didn't just ignore God, but I mean, I didn't give it the credence that I should have, because I thought, well, maybe it's just me. You know how you just kind of think, oh, that's me, you know. And, you know, part of what I'll confess here is my mindset that I've had over the past few, well, probably since I've been saved, really. But God is changing me. How many know he's changing me? He's changing you. And the way that we used to see things and perceive things and understand things and even respond is changing. We're not the same that we used to be. We're being changed from glory to glory. I used to say that, and it kind of used to be a pat answer, well, I'm being changed from glory to glory. But I wasn't really. I mean, you know, I'd know more from the Bible. I'd have a greater knowledge. You know, and I could probably pray a prayer that sounded really good, but being changed from glory to glory was far and few between. Now, today, oh my goodness, it's like what I knew last week, I can't stay in. It's like, okay, and I'm not saying, you know, that, you know, I'm just changing what I believe, but I'm saying the experience in God is changing from glory to glory. So, with that said, the Lord put on my heart about 2 months ago, because I'm saying, Lord, you know, I've gotten this experience of being a son, and I love it, and you're my father and my daddy, and it's awakened me. And I said, you know, but, you know, I need some more, you know. It's like, I need more, you know, almost like drugs. Lord, I need more, you know. It's like, give me more. Well, God's a good thing to be addicted to. You guys know that?
You can be addicted to Jesus and it's okay. You can totally be a Jesus addict. There's nothing wrong with that. Because when you're a Jesus addict, you won't be an addict to anything else. And when you're addicted to him, nothing else will have room in your life. So I'm saying, Lord, I need more. And so he puts this on my heart. I want you to start reading Jesus Calling. Jesus Calling. That's what I thought first. Jesus Calling? What is this? You know, I'm thinking, because let me just tell you, about a year and a half ago, Lynette was into Jesus Calling, and she was into it deep, and it was speaking to her, and she would read it to us about every couple of weeks at staff meeting, and I would listen to it and say, oh man, that's good stuff. And I would say, for a woman. Come on now, guys, listen. How do people grow unless they just expose their ugliness? So that's me. I wouldn't say that. I would say, oh, Lynette, that's so good for you. No, I would receive, there was truth in it, but, you know, I'll use the line here in a minute because it'll make sense. But I just never, you know, the books look feminine. You know, it's just like, you know, it's like, this does not look like a masculine book, you know. And so I always associated Jesus Calling. I know, this is like, you're going to have to pray for me. No, I'm better now, okay? I'm fixed better. I'm better now. But there's this mindset that I had that was for a woman. That was a book for a woman. And Gay started doing Jesus Calling, and it was awesome for her. And it's like, you know, and I have an aversion to devotionals because I always thought that they were a cop-out.
Oh, you do your devotional, I do my 20 chapters.
You know, it's like this. It was totally a religious, pharisaical, hypocritical idol. Ideal in my mind that you couldn't receive something from just a devotional on a morning. And, you know, God had to change me. And he had to make me, you know, what?
Read
Jesus Calling, yeah. So it was like several times. I'm, Lord, I need more. Well, read Jesus Calling.
Wow.
You know, and so I, you know, and I kept putting it off, you know. Well, praise the Lord that we have obedient brothers and sisters in Christ. And about, well, it was actually when we did the church in the park, Sunday in the park. How many liked Sunday in the park? Or was it too hot? Or everybody, all those sun worshipers, I loved it. It's like, yeah. Next time we can do it in January. That way the sun worshipers will be outdone by the cold worshipers. But probably only have two people there, Gay and myself. Not even the worship team will make it to that. But that'd be like Sunday in the Alps, you know. Anyway, so someone came up to me and they said, I was reading this today and I immediately thought of you. And so they opened it up and guess the book was Jesus Calling. And so they read it to me, the whole page, that whole daily devotion. And I'm like, oh my goodness, it spoke right to my heart. And I just said, okay, Lord, I give up. So that Monday, I started Jesus Calling, and I've been reading it religiously. No, I'm not religiously. I've been reading it faithfully every single day. So this week, and I'm going to, you think, oh, he'll be preaching from Jesus Calling now, you know. This was one of the verses that you could read. I actually read the verses that go along with it. For those of you men who are on the same page as me, you know, and have had an aversion to devotionals or had an aversion to Jesus Calling, it is a very powerful book for me right now. And I don't know if that means that what God is doing is just tenderizing my heart in such a way that he can speak to me now. And I would say that Jesus Calling has this, you could put this on the front of it. Strong enough for a man, but made for a woman. I'm just saying. Because, I mean, I believe that when she talks, it seems like she is talking to ladies, but it's strong enough for a man, believe me. And it is, huh? Made by a woman. Okay, she wants me to. Yes, Sarah Young is definitely somebody who
heard from the Lord. I got to give you this testimony before, I may not preach. This is the coolest thing. Gay and I were talking, we were doing Jesus Calling together one morning, and I said, isn't this amazing how this woman just wrote this? If you guys don't know the story, she wrote this whole devotional book for herself. This was her own journaling. This was her talking through her writing as the Lord to her. And so she went through all these, you know, years of doing this, and then she started giving them to friends, I think her mother, and her mother said, you need to give these to others. And so it ended up becoming the Jesus Calling book. But this was Sarah Young's personal journal, from what I understand. Well, this is amazing, because I said that, and I said, isn't that amazing how the Lord did that? Well, guess what Pastor Gay did? She said, well, if Sarah Young can do it, I can do it. And so she, that morning, just said, Lord, give me something. And she wrote this amazing, I read it, and it's like it spoke to my heart. That the Lord spoke to her and to me through her writing prophetically as if he was talking, and he was, believe me. So this isn't just Sarah Young and do this. We can do this. This is what singing in the Spirit is going to be like. It's going to be coming from us, and it's going to sound like the Lord is speaking to us because he is speaking to us. Amen. The living waters, the true rhema word of God will speak in this place. And you know what happens? We live on that rhema word. Man doesn't live on bread alone, but by that rhema word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I know I'm all over the place. But so listen to this. This word spoke to me. And I mean, I literally sang a little ditty from it. And I've been singing it all week. But it's Psalm 32. Verse 8, it says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. Now, previous to this, the first 7 verses, David is kind of talking to the Lord. All of a sudden, he becomes prophetic, like Sarah Young, and he starts letting the Lord speak to him. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. When I read that, now I've read Psalm 32, I don't know how many times. I've read the Psalms by themselves. I've read the Psalms reading through the Word. And I probably read that and said, oh, that's interesting. This time it jumped off the page at me. And I've been thinking about it all week. I will guide you with my eye. Now, some of your Bibles read, I will counsel you and watch over you with my eye. Well, you could say that, but you have to have in it the context that it is his eye that is counseling you. It is his eye that is guiding you. It is his eye that is leading you. Now, I've puzzled over this all week long. Lord, you know, because I've had eye contact with people, and you can sometimes read their eyes and stuff, but I believe what the Lord mainly is trying to say here, he says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. I believe what he's saying here, it's going to take intimacy with me. Close one-on-one interaction, because how close do you have to get to somebody's eyes before you can read them? You have to get very close. I mean, you know, you could kind of see them from a distance, but to be instructed, to see what they're meaning, you've got to be close. So I believe the Lord is speaking through David a prophetic word that he wants to, and it's for us today, here, right now. Isn't that amazing how something, you know, 4,000 potentially years ago, I'm not exactly sure of the timeline, a long time ago, David is making active and alive in us today, as the Lord spoke through him at that time, for himself, I'm sure, and for many who read it, today it's giving life to us and letting us know that God is ready to lead us and guide us with his eye. And I came up with this song, and I'm just going to sing it before I go to the next verse, because It's kind of what I want to have happen with this. The way that the Lord's going to guide you will be differently. But for me, I want him to guide me with your eye. Lead me to your heart. Guide me with your eye. Lead me to your heart. See, I want him to guide me in such a way that I enter right into his heart.
says that Jesus was in the bosom of the Father. That's one of the descriptions of his character. In the bosom of the Father. I'm not going to preach on that right now, but what a description of intimacy. John, at one point, was laying on Jesus' chest. He wrote it in his, and it was translated into King James, his bosom, and that's where he was able to ask Jesus who would betray him. And I believe it was more than that. I believe he was interacting with Jesus just hours before he was getting ready to be betrayed. What intimacy he had with him at that time. Was that a time when Jesus exposed some of the deepest things that only maybe one or two could hear the conversation? The rest of the disciples were busy eating, carrying on with their moment, thinking that they would have tomorrow with Jesus. But maybe John had some kind of insight that something was going on, that this night was a night that he needed to really focus on the Master. See, we need to realize that intimacy may mean that we will be ready for the next moment. Because see, John was the only disciple who was at the feet of Jesus when he was on the cross. All the rest were scattered. See, I believe seeing his eyes, being in his bosom, being in that intimate place, we're able to know his love. And his love removes every fear. John was not worried that he was going to be crucified with Jesus. He was not afraid. He had that complete love in him. He was fully assured and confident that whatever was going to happen to him, he was okay. And so he went to the place where Jesus was being accused and where he was in front of the religious leaders, and then he followed him to the cross. And at that cross, he received another command, and that was to take care of Jesus' mother. See, there's something about intimacy. There's something about going beyond just what everybody else is doing. Because the other disciples, they're great people. Don't get me wrong. And they all had callings, all had destiny, all had plans. But I believe this is the day for John's. I believe this is the day when God the Father wants us to know his love so much that we are in the bosom of the Father as well. That we're so close to him that even his eye, maybe that's all it was. Maybe just Jesus glanced over at Judas. And then for all, he dipped the cup, so you know, handed the bread. But maybe John got the eyes. I'm just playing with some thoughts here because I didn't know where this was going. I'm just telling you, God wants to guide us with his eye. He wants to guide us in a place of intimacy. He wants to guide us in a place of close connection with him that we can only get really one-on-one with him. This environment will stir us and encourage us. But the place of intimacy is going to be one-on-one sometimes in our cars, sometimes just reading our word in the morning, sometimes in the shower. I'm just telling you, be ready for intimacy with God. This is a day when God will speak to us, I believe. And maybe he'll do it through your own writing. Maybe he'll do it through a song that you sing to yourself. Maybe he'll do it in a phone conversation, even with somebody else. Maybe even with an unsaved person. He'll use what they say to speak directly to your heart. But when he starts speaking, get closer. Draw away from the noise of life, the noise of the crowd, and get alone with him. Man, there's no better place than for you to be alone with God, for me to be alone with God. I say that trying to encourage myself. It's so easy in the hustle and bustle and the runnings of life to just not even have time to stand still. Anybody in agreement? I mean, there's a desire. Oh, man, there's a desire. But the follow-through in the actual application of it, oh, my, we fall short. But I believe God wants to guide us with his eye. For me, he wants to lead me to his heart. I believe, really, he wants to lead you to his heart. Because God's heart is so for us, so in love with us. He is, I'll use the word, goo-goo over us. He's goo goo gaga. I mean, he's besides himself over us. He can't handle it how much he loves us. That's why he sent his son. We look at it as, you know, it's just like, well, something God had to do with his plan and stuff. No, it's just I love them so much. My son has to go. And Jesus loves him so much, says, Father, I'm going. So that we could be guided with his eye. So that we can not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. Isn't that amazing? That it wasn't that so you could ride them. See, so many of us have the impression that God wants to saddle us up like a stallion, harness us so he can ride us for all we're worth till we drop. Come on, use us, Lord. Take us. We'll take him to the end of the world and then we'll drop and die. But no, it's so that he can bring us close to him. Not that he can ride us and, you know, fulfill some great destiny through us. I mean, we all have that impression that God is going to use me, and, you know, I'm like a Joseph, and, you know, if I wasn't in Egypt, and, you know, the people wouldn't be saved. You know, my people wouldn't be able to be getting through this famine. It's easy to get into that mindset where it's all up to us. It's all up to us to have this family across the street saved. I used to think that, you know, it's like, boy, if I don't go talk to them, who will? You know, well, the Bible does say, if not you, who, you know? Yeah. How can they hear unless, you know, someone's sent? But if you don't go, God can send another. All I'm trying to say is listen, he wants to not have to put a bridle on you, but I believe he will, if necessary, to look us in the eye. And you don't want the horse's eye. They're on the side of their heads. Do you guys know that? Horses have eyes on the side of their heads. They see 350 degrees around them. What a nightmare.
Were you in 4-H?
No, but I read that. He wants us to be focused directly on him, looking to him. Why? Because he wants to guide us, wants to lead us, wants to instruct us, he wants to teach us. And he'll bridle us. But listen, the horse doesn't have understanding. We do. We give ourselves time to listen to the Holy Spirit inside of us. Holy Spirit does an ample job of teaching us. He is the Spirit of truth.
Yes, yes.
He is our teacher.
Yes, yes.
Come on, all I'm talking about is just allowing God to work in your life in such a way that you truly become like he wants you to become.
Yep.
And the whole point of it is that many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Come on. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. I've come to worship. I have come to worship. It's that simple. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. You're welcome here. I've been singing this song. We sang it last week. I've been singing it all this week. You know, you are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of all praise. To you my life I raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. See, he's awesome in this place. Not just this place, this place. We are the tabernacle of the Most High. He doesn't live in buildings anymore. He doesn't have a place that he resides here, and he has an address. We are his address. Someone to know how? What's God's phone number? You are his phone number. Whatever your name is, that's his phone number. What was it that the Lord was sharing with you last week, Vicky, it's not that the Lord, you know, calls us by our sins. He calls us by our name.
Yeah.
Right there. God, you've got my number. Yeah, he does. It's our name.
Yep.
We have a pipeline with him all the time. There's no separation, no segregation. There's no bad connection. Some of you say, well, so I'm dealing with a bad connection. No, all you're dealing with is a bunch of noise in your life. The connection's fine. Every single one of us can hear God. It's not, we say, we don't, you know, what about, you know, fine tuning? What about walking in the Spirit and knowing? Yes, that's all good. But I'm trying to tell you here, don't make it something higher and bigger that you have to achieve, because Jesus achieved it all.
Yeah.
You can hear God. You just have to get rid of the noise.
Amen.
I'll finish with this story. I've said it before, but that was years ago, so probably nobody here remembers it. Tyson probably will. He's got like a memory like a steel trap, like an elephant. He never forgets anything. Right, Angela? He forgets to get the milk. But there was a man, and he went to New York City. And big, huge crowd was all around and, you know, going all over the place. And he was meeting his friend. And he was from, you know, a place where they had woods and forests and everything. And he's like, just looking at all these buildings. It was just like amazing. So he comes up to his friend. He meets his friend. All of a sudden, they're walking. And he stops, he says, listen. So we go, what? And all he hears is he's shuffling with people and everything. He goes, there's a cricket. And he goes, what? Don't you hear it? There's a cricket. He goes, no, I don't hear a cricket. He says, well, watch this. And he took like a 50-cent piece out of his pocket, and he threw it in the air, and it hit and it clanged. All of a sudden, people stopped and turned and looked. They heard money. They heard the sound that they're used to. And the point of this is, if we just get used to the sounds around us all the time and never get away alone with God, it gets really hard to hear his voice when it's busy. There's lots of things going on. And believe me, it's only going to get busier. It's only going to get crazier. So we need to let him guide us with his eye. We need to be able to get close enough, like this close. I can do this with Gay without this close, to where we can see the reflection of all the lights. We can see the colors of the pupil, all the different colors of God's eye. You think, oh, that's really weird, Pastor. I'm just saying, close. He'll guide us. If he has to with a bridle, I believe he will, because he's done that for me many years.
Isn't that called jail?
Straight jacket for some. Anyway, the point being is that we are in a new day where we don't have to be bridled. We have understanding. We have understanding by the Holy Spirit, and I believe that God wants to lead us in such a way where we walk, others can follow. See, it's not just about us. It's about those who don't know right now. It's about those who've never seen or heard the good news. Not just to preach, but I mean a life lived for Christ, dedicated 100% for God, then watching the results of others as they see that life and wanting the same thing. Father, we just thank you for your word. And Lord, I want to sing that again, Lord. Guide me with your eye. Lead me to your heart, Lord. Lord, I want your counsel. I want your divine direction. Lord, for all of us, not just myself, Lord, I pray, God, that you would be able to lead us into all truth, guide us into all truth. Reveal to us, Lord, the things in our lives, Lord, that are causing noise, that are causing distraction, that are causing us to miss, Lord, your still small voice, causing us to miss you whispering to us, Holy Spirit, causing us to miss you looking one way, telling us to go that way. Lord, we want to have the subtleties of the Spirit working well in us. We want to hear that voice behind us says, this is the way, walk in it. Want to follow you in such a way, Lord, that others can follow us, Lord, and find life. I just bless my brothers and sisters right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for revelation and understanding to come to them, Lord, in such a way that they're able to grasp what is the exceeding greatness of God's love toward them. What are the riches of the glorious inheritance in the saints? Lord, what is the just an amazing life that God has for them to live, Lord. And I pray, God, that you would just help them slow down enough and quiet down at times to hear you speak. Teach them, Lord, to look in your eyes. Yeah. Don't have to bridle them, God. Let their hearts be saying yes and amen to doing it willingly in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Well, Joe and Christine are here to pray for anybody who is sick. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. He's back. Hold on just a second. Dennis, would you please come up? He tried to change places so I wouldn't see him. Dennis is a graduate, 2013. Congratulations, brother. Let me pray for you. Father, we pray right now, Lord, for the future for this young man of God. Lord, we pray that you would just allow him to hear your voice, Lord, to see your eyes and be led, Lord, where you want him to go. Father, we pray that what he's experienced in you, Lord, in the past, God, would be dwarfed compared to what he experiences in you in the coming days. Lord, that literally the heavens would open up over him, Lord. That literally, Lord, he would walk, Lord, where you guide him and lead him to, Lord, and that demons would flee, God, because of your residency inside of him. God, let your perfect will be done in Dennis's life, Lord. We speak a blessing over him, Lord, right now. Bless him as he comes. Bless him as he goes. Bless him as he sleeps and rises up, Lord. Bless him where he works, God, and bless him where he plays, Lord. We pray that he would be, God, a blessing to others, God, as you have so richly blessed him. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Bless you, brother. Thank you, hon. I've been trying to give that to him for a while, so. But again, we have Joe and Christine that really feel called by the Lord to pray for anybody who's sick, any illnesses. And, you know, they can pray for other things, but really that's what their heart is for, is to pray for the sick. And anyone else who would like to come up here and pray, you know, for it's not just exclusive to them, but if you want to come and be prayed for or be available to pray for others, feel free. God bless you all. Watch his eyes. Love you guys.